A florist's world is filled with big-budget, Instagram-worthy moments, leaving so many florists feeling inadequate or discouraged because this isn't the type of work that they're attracting. But the bigger issue I see florists struggle with is being overwhelmed and exhausted, and frankly, counting down the days till the end of wedding season. If you are struggling keeping up with the day-to-day details of your business, like proposals, ordering product, client meetings, and then getting this week's wedding done, all while trying to balance kids, a day job, self-care, and whatever else gets thrown your way, I'm Jenny Beck, and I am going to help you feel so much lighter in your business. I believe that today you can start to change your business and your life, and I'm here to help. Whether this is your side hustle, your mom hustle, or your everyday hustle, this podcast is the place for all the juicy details of creating a business you adore. Flower friend, my name is Jen, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello, flower friends. This is Jen, and you are listening to the Floral Hustle Podcast. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about 5 ways you can make more money, more profit this year. I think I did a recent episode that was just talking about how everybody's, you know, saying that this year is going to be slower. This year is going to, don't have as many bookings. I just was doing I had leftover flowers, and I did a kind of like a marketing fun kind of just picture photo shoot styled shoot in a photographer's studio. And they were talking about how, you know, their bookings are slower this year. And for one, I want to, you know, I was explaining to them why I thought that was. And I just wanted to give you an interesting spin on that perspective. The normal range of a engaged couple is 3 years. From when somebody meets to when they get married, that's about 3 years' time. What were we doing 3 years ago? 3 years ago, we were mainly in lockdown. So we were not out meeting people, not out forming relationships, not out dating and doing all those things. So we have sucked a little bit potentially out of our vacuum of potential clients that are in the market to get married because nobody was out there dating. And that obviously is not something that's in our control. And so I don't worry about things that are not in my control. But here are 5 things that we can control. When you meet with a client, number one, just because there are less clients, potentially, doesn't mean that there needs to be less clients for you. I time and time again see the experiences that couples are having with other florists, seeing what other florists are putting out there, seeing basically a lot of business owners really not knowing what they were doing. So you could be positioned as providing a better experience. You could be positioned as being the best value, doesn't mean the cheapest. You provide the best service. Like, your whole process of interacting with that client could feel better. And so then you are closing more clients. So if you are not currently tracking who inquired, who got to a consultation, who got to a final bid, and then who actually booked with you to understand what your closing percentage is, you need to start that today. Because if you went and just close your clients at a higher percentage based on providing an amazing experience, providing a good value, a beautiful proposal, all these things that just go, God, I really want to work with that person. If that experience is so much better than your competition, you could potentially not have less brides or less clients, less couples, because you were just closing such a high percentage. Time and time again, there's so many examples of, like, I really take good care of my clients. When I see, like, what other clients, or I hear what sometimes other florists are doing, I'm just dumbfounded in life and pretty much in many interactions, not just hearing about other clients. Like, think about the examples of subpar service that you get all around. I mean, this is one example. So my mother passed away 6 years ago, and I randomly got notified that she had a small little life insurance policy. And this is 6 years later, I got something in the mail. And they're like, my condolences for your recent death. And like, I was just like, hashtag prudential fail. I know that they're trying to, but this is like a seriously tacky form letter that like is making me completely trigger me to like think about my mom's passing again. But if they would have like actually spent time in going, hey, our records show that your mother passed away. I mean, if they would have been more relevant, that would have been an experience that was 10 times better than what it was. I showed my husband the letter and that needs to be posted online with how ethically inappropriate that type of communication in this situation is. So anytime you are actually putting an effort in, there are examples of people failing in a customer service fashion, in a just general caring fashion so often that if you just really dial in, you're going to close more clients if you provide an amazing experience. So that is one way to make more money, like literally close a higher percentage by creating such an experience that they don't want to go elsewhere. Okay, number two, if you close someone and you have the same amount of weddings, or you even have less weddings, but your average wedding price goes up. So there are several ways to get your average wedding order to a higher level. One of those ways, of course, could be literally you're just pitching things that are more, you know, higher end or more premium, more luxury, whatever word you want to use. And when you do that, you are going to start to attract higher budgets because you're dreaming bigger, you're thinking bigger, you're proposing bigger, you're designing bigger. And if you are doing all of those things, the money will follow. Like, you need to put yourself out there to, one, start attracting that work, to start executing that work. So once you start getting like pictures of you can do this and you're promoting that, you will start to raise your average wedding cost. I've doubled, now tripled my average wedding cost in the last 5 years. So that is totally something that you can do. I also think that this, if you're all of your portfolio currently speaks to the person that you have been booking, are booking, you need to try to think out of the box on how you can get that leveled up work in front of your audience so they see what a floral badass you are and that you have all the potential to do these amazing things. People are still spending money on weddings. You just need to learn how you can get your share of the pie and a bigger chunk of the pie, inevitably, because you deserve to do amazing things. So if you increase your average wedding, even by $500, that could be, if you do 25 weddings, if you do, you know, even 10, that could be an additional $5,000 of revenue for this year. So how can you capitalize on what you have now? And honestly, that doesn't mean if you've booked them, you're like completely, we're stuck. This is where this budget is and it's not moving anywhere. You could come up with some out-of-the-box idea, something that you were like dreaming about this person's wedding and just had this great idea to share with them. And they're like, oh my God, that would be really cool. How much would that cost? And then you're like, well, that would cost this. And they're like, awesome. That seems amazing. Win all the way around because you are coming up with these amazing ideas that inspire you and inspired them and got them to get their checkbook out. Okay. So the next is you could make more money by potentially lowering your costs. If you buy smarter, if you clean up your monthly expense budget and really dig deep on what you're spending, that is going to help you make more money. Because in the end, you could have a $100,000 business, but have the expenses at 80 grand, or you could have a $100,000 year business and have your expenses at 40 to 50,000. You are inevitably doing the same amount of weddings, but potentially really cutting down your costs, watching where you're buying, sourcing smarter, doing things that are just in the best interest of profit, not in the best interest of just, I'm selling things just to sell them. If you are not making any money selling these things, it is something that needs to be evaluated ASAP. So if you just really dive into costs, plan your recipes out more, really source responsibly from a pricing perspective, analyze your monthly expenses, you could be making more money without doing any more work. Then, reoccurring revenue. I just the other day delivered an arrangement to one of my monthly flower clients. And it is a husband that wants to make sure that he is a good husband, and he sends his wife flowers every month. And so I have a plan at the beginning of the month, I drop flowers off. That one client was an additional $1,400 a year. I just like to go see her because she's a wonderful woman and I enjoy her and her family. But like, that is a chunk of revenue. What if you had 10 of those? What if you had 10 of those clients? What if you had some weekly clients that you were dropping off, like at a dental office, you were dropping off at a hotel, you were dropping off at, you know, wherever? Like, what if that was an additional $30,000 of revenue? By just focusing on getting reoccurring revenue. Because when that compounds, like, you're making more money. The compounding effect of that, you're consistently doing this order, like weekly church flowers. If you have a church nearby, they might have an altar guild, which is in charge of like a budget for doing things for the altar. I have a altar guild that spends, you know, it's around, I think, like $250 a month for four little arrangements. So they're not huge, but I'm not delivering them. They're being picked up. I usually use whatever's left over for my weddings or that's growing in my yard. And so it's a win. Like, I'm helping this church out. They're giving me reoccurring revenue to make their church pretty on Sunday. You can go and find those opportunities. Find an insurance agent that, even ask your insurance agent, do you ever do anything for your clients that are, you know, like got out of the hospital or lost a loved one? I have my financial planning company. Like, I do several orders like that. Somebody died, got out of the hospital or retired or had a baby. And I deliver flowers within usually like 30 minutes of my studio. And I mean, I get a couple of those a month. Sometimes if it's a funeral, the orders will go up to 250. Otherwise, it's 100 to 150 usually. But that could be an extra $5,000 a year. That could be an extra $2,500. So look at holistically, like, where these opportunities are. And then think out of the box. What if you added another revenue stream to your business? And what if that revenue stream was like, you just went hard and going to get funeral homes on board with sending clients your way? What if you went hard with getting a hotel? What if you went hard with like saying, I'm adding Christmas trees, decorating, putting up, doing all these things with Christmas trees? What if you decide you're going to do porch pots? You're like going big and doing porch pots. I have a coaching client that did $25,000 in spring porch pots. Was she busting her butt a little bit? Yeah. She was, but That's a big chunk of revenue. What if you figured out, like, for prom or homecoming, that you partnered with a booster club in the high school and they sold and made like $5 per corsage or something like that. But then you just had this like big steady business. I did a ton of corsages for a homecoming several years in a row. And we did, then the mom left that was running the program because her kiddo graduated and then we stopped. But I made, I think one homecoming, it was homecoming, not prom. And I think I made like 90 of these things, like 90 boutonniere and corsage kind of duos. And I made, okay, you get to pick a rose, a spray rose. You get to pick an accent color. And that was kind of it. And so like white spray rose, I let them pick a bling accent, if that's when bling accents were cool. So I let them pick one of those three things. And like they took an order and sent it over to me. And I think I made a couple $1,000s with that little experiment. And so you can think out of the box on those very same things. You could do a workshop and make sure that you're actually making money in this workshop and pricing it to make money, not just pricing it to do a workshop. So there are all these potential revenue sources that if one starts to wane, there is more opportunity out there and you totally could capitalize on it. So those are my five ways that you can make more money in 2024. One thing that I do want to mention is you could also, like when you are up-leveling your, you know, weddings to higher dollar amounts, those come with usually more mechanics, more like problem solving than a $3,000 wedding. So if you are like, I don't know how to add installations to my weddings, I am having an floral installations workshop where you are going to be doing five floral installations. You're going to see the mechanics. You're going to understand the pricing, the ordering, and you're actually going to do it. So you build some confidence in executing five different installations. You're going to have your hands on every one. You're going to get photos of the workshop afterwards that you can share that you did this work at the workshop so that you can build your portfolio, which is just so helpful. And you also have the opportunity to get a mini brand shoot done for like $100 during the workshop and get your makeup touched up for it. It's going to be amazing. It's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Contact me on Instagram if you have any questions. You can go check it out. Like I have pictures of the last installation workshop in my Instagram feed, as well as in my link in bio. You can easily find the workshop tickets to check out all the details. And if you have any questions, you can send me a message. But I know my average weddings have gone up from a price point standpoint because of installations. They have really added, for one, me creatively. I'm super excited when I get to do one. And I usually think of ideas on how I can do one, like, hey, what's your cake look like? What's this look like? And really like have fun with these and make some good money. Because if you could even just take one box of Smilex, charge somebody $1,000 to decorate something with a box of Smilex, and you've made, you know, $750 in a couple hours time. So there is opportunity out there and you need to go capitalize on it. Thank you so much, Flower Friend, and you have a fun-filled flower day. Friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you found value or today's episode was helpful, please head to your podcast player of choice and hit that subscribe button so that you can be notified every week of new episodes. And while you're there, please go and leave a review. Reviews are so important for getting this message out to all of our other flower friends. Also, if you are wanting additional support, head on over to Facebook and join the Floral Hustle Facebook group, which is a place for like-minded floralpreneurs wanting a more aligned and more profitable floral business. Flower friend, have a fun-filled flower week.